Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back with me Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with the news. And stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia wishes cooperation with Canada in promoting inclusive digital economy accelerator hub idea concept. Indonesia explains palm and peat issues in Norway. Now the news in details. Minister of Communication and Information Rudiantara said the Indonesian government opened opportunities for cooperation with Canada in the field of information and technology. Speaking at the 152nd Canadian National Day celebration in Jakarta on Monday, Minister Rudiantara said that Indonesia has proposed the concept of Inclusive Digital Economy Accelerator Hub, ID Hub, when attending the G20 summit in Osaka, Japan, recently. These proposals, according to the minister, opens opportunities for Indonesia and Canada to collaborate in the field of information technology that continues to grow.
We welcome cooperation in future economic opportunity in such as human-centered artificial intelligence, up to the data free flow we trust that we have to deal with in 5 years down the road, and to ensure that no man left behind.
President Joko Widodo, when attending the G20 summit in Osaka, Japan, proposed the concept of Inclusive Digital Economy Accelerator Hub, Idea Hub. Idea Hub is conceptualized as a global forum for digital business people, especially those with the status of unicorn. Idea Hub is intended to gather ideas and sharing experiences that are expected to benefit the government, the private sector, as well as micro, small and medium-scale businesses. President Joko Widodo said that the Idea Hub proposal was initiated to reduce the number of social and economic disparities between countries. Learning about digital business models in Idea Hub includes three areas of information, namely sharing economy, workforce digitalization, and financial inclusion. Indonesia explained the importance of oil palm in achieving the targets of the Sustainable Development Goals SDGs and is a strategic industry for the country's economy. The Indonesian government also stressed that the collective efforts of the government, business people, and the community were considered successful in maintaining the sustainability of peatlands and palm oil in Indonesia. The issues were raised in a seminar entitled Peat and Sustainable Palm Oil Contribution in Achieving Sustainable Development Goals. The seminar was held by Indonesian Embassy in Oslo recently. That was the written statement of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs received by Antara in Jakarta on Monday. The seminar was attended by around 80 participants from government, academicians, businessmen, and NGOs in Norway. Indonesia's ambassador to China, Jauhari Oratmangun, was quite generous in offering vital tips to Chinese investor keen on investing in the financial technology sector in Indonesia. Escorted by Antara News Agency, Oratmangun on Monday said that there are two tips for investment to be successful in Indonesia. The ambassador divulged the first key tip pertaining to the importance of investors understanding the difference between China and Indonesia to become more adaptable. He further said second, by batik as mark of appreciation for the local culture. Oratmangun was earlier an attendee at the Indonesia-China Cooperation Meeting in the field of technology and digital economy held by Momentum Works in Shanghai. The ambassador had put forward a recommendation for Chinese technologies and investors to make innovations, invest in digital infrastructure, and partake in Islamic banking and finance that had yet to be fully exploited in Indonesia. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Army, TNI AD, continued to search for its Mi-17 helicopters that had lost contact since Friday, June 28, at Oksibil, Pegunungan Bintang District, Papua. Escorted by Antara News Agency Deputy of Public Relations and Media Department, 17 Cendrawasih Lieutenant Colonel Infantry Dax Sianturi stated at Sentani District on Monday that on the fourth day, TNI continues to search for the helicopters either by air or on ground. Lieutenant Colonel Infantry Dax Sianturi confirmed that the Indonesian Army had dispatched 2412 Bell helicopters and a 206 Bell helicopters to search for its Mi-17 helicopters. The Indonesian Army also deployed a CN-235 aircraft to bring logistics to the forces Z searching for the missing helicopter. He said earlier that morning, it was reported that one 206 Bell helicopter had conducted sweeping aerial operation, but it was unable to find the missing helicopter. He noted that 412 Bell helicopter will continue to look for the missing helicopter. Most of the Indonesian land area will experience an air temperature increase of 0.2 to 0.3 degrees Celsius in 2020 to 2030 period, the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysic Agency has estimated. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Deputy Head of BMKG Harizal on Monday said that based on the result of the multimodal climate projection simulation using the Representative Concentrations Pathways, RCP 4.5 scenario, Indonesia's air temperature will get hotter from 2020 to 2030. Compared to the average air temperature in 2005 to 2015 period, some of Indonesia's territories such as South Sumatra, Central Papua, and parts of West Papua are expected to experience the highest temperature increases between 2020 and 2030, according to the agency. Hence, he explained some adaptations and mitigation efforts are needed to anticipate increasing surface air temperature in the near future due to global warming. An observer for the International Relations of the University of Indonesia, Sofwan Albana Khoiruzat, had projected President Joko Widodo's second term in Indonesia's foreign policy as continuity from the previous period. He said the first period of Jokowi's administration was a period of adjustment and time to get to know each other between the head of government and the bureaucrats who carried out the foreign policy. Sofwan also said during the 2014-2019 period, there are still many foreign policy concepts that have not been optimally executed. He gave the example of the aspects of economic diplomacy where conceptually Indonesia wanted to open up new markets, but in fact was still loyal to traditional markets such as the United States, East Asian countries, and Europe. Meanwhile, Indonesia is still considering looking for opportunities to trade optimally in the large African markets as its new target market. Therefore, the next follow-up period is considered as the right time to continue the concept that have been raised previously by running more optimally. The government will not rush to establish the fifth generation of the internet network frequencies 5G in Indonesia, escorted by Antara News Agency Communication and Information Ministry Postal and Information Technology Resources Director General Ismail on Monday said that the government will do this only at the right time. Ismail, after the opening of the 25th meeting of the Asia-Pacific Telecommunity Wireless Group at Indonesia Convention Exhibition ICE of Bumi Serpong Damai, Banten, Monday, said that the progress of the 5G network establishment is not too fast since the technology is still in the development stage. The government will be at least setting up a 5G network after the World Radio Communication Conference scheduled to take place in Egypt in October 2019. Also this year, the government, together with a number of communities, including operators' companies, will hold a special working group to prepare for this 5G network service. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Indonesian National Police Protect, Guard and Serve Their Community. Well, listener, on July 1st, 2019, the Indonesian National Police, or Polri, commemorated the 73rd National Police Day. The commemoration is well known as the Bayangkara Day, as stated on the polri.go.id website. The name of Bayangkara was taken from the name of the security forces during the Majapahit Kingdom. Fatiga Jemada formed as security force called Bayangkara with the task of protecting the king and the kingdom. Now the task of the polri is to maintain security and public order, uphold the law and provide protection guard and service to the community. On the anniversary of the polri, of course, there is hope to be achieved in the future. Deputy Police Chief of the Indonesian National Police, Commissioner General Aridono Sukmanto, hopes that the police will be more solid and powerful. Another hope expressed by the Deputy Chief of Police is that the Indonesian National Police can strengthen cooperation with the Indonesian National Armed Forces, TNI, and the community to achieve a peaceful, fair, and prosperous society. Of course, there are obstacles and challenges in realizing these ideals. But looking at the performance of the polri, there is a great belief that this can be all be realized, at least referring to the success of the Indonesian National Police, along with the TNI in securing the 2019 general elections. Previously, the National Police succeeded in securing the implementation of the 2018 Asian Games and Asia Paragames, as well as maintaining the security and smooth implementation of the IMF and the World Bank sanctions in October 2018. In addition, the National Police succeeded in countering terrorism and radicalization. For this performance, the National Police deserves to be appreciated by the international communities. One of them is from the Hong Kong Police, who also hoped to learn more from the success of the National Police in countering terrorism and radicalism. To address the obstacles and challenges, the Indonesian National Police must keep improving their personnel capacity. As pointed out by Chief of the Polri, General Tito Karnavian, in the 87th Interpol General Assembly in Dubai, United Arab Emirates in 2018, the police duties will be more challenging. This is influenced by various potential security disturbances as a result of technological developments such as transnational cybercrime. The ability to build networks, to communicate, to coordinate, and to collaborate with law enforcement officials from various countries in the world must also be improved. Because to reach a peaceful, fair, and prosperous society, the Indonesian National Police must face more serious challenges and threats that can come from anywhere, both from within and outside the country. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history begins with July the 2nd, 2004. Mokhtar Lubis dies. Mokhtar Lubis is a well-known Indonesian journalist and author. He once worked at the Antara News Agency, then founded Indonesia Raya newspaper. During the Sukarno administration, he was sent to prison for almost 9 years and was released in 1966. His thoughts while in prison was put in a book entitled The Subversive Notes in 1980. He was once the president of the Press Foundation of Asia, a member of the board of directors of the International Association for Cultural Freedom, and a member of the World Future Studies Federation. Mokhtar Lubis passed away on July 2, 2004 at the age of 82 years. Turning to July 2, 2005, Live 8 World Music Concert. The biggest music stars in the world took part in Live 8 concerts around the world aimed at persuading political leaders to tackle poverty in Africa. Concerts were held in 10 cities, including London, Philadelphia, Paris, Berlin, Johannesburg, Rome, and Moscow. The Live 8 concerts were attended to attract the attention of the G8 leaders at their summit in Glenagles, Scotland, from July 2 to 7, 2005, which discussed global poverty. The G8 summit did approve $50 billion US dollars in aid for developing countries. They also agreed to cancel the debt of the 18 poorest countries. More than 1,000 musicians performed at the concert, which was broadcast on 182 television networks and 2,000 radio networks. I'll end today in history with July the 2nd, 2010. An explosion of oil trucks in Congo killed 240 people. An oil truck explosion in South Kivu took place on July the 2nd, 2010 in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. The tank truck is upside down in the village of Sangi. It was reported that local residents tried to collect oil from the upside down truck. Unfortunately, one of them smoked a cigarette. The tanker exploded. The fire struck the residential area, and this incident resulted in at least 230 people killed and 196 others injured. Well, that was Today in History, from Indonesia to the world.
Yakini cinta takkan berakhir, namun takdir menuliskan kita harus berakhir. Segenap hatiku luluh lantak mengiringi dukaku yang kehilangan dirimu. Sungguh ku tak mampu untuk meredam kepedihan hatiku untuk merelakan kepergian. Thank you.
That was the first song entitled Lulu, sung by Samsons. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. It's happy to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The title of today's My Indonesia is Indonesia and Egypt agree to enhance economic and consular cooperation. Indonesia and Egypt enhance bilateral cooperation. Director General of Asia and Pacific at the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Destra Percaya, presided the 6th Indonesia bilateral consultation with the Assistant Foreign Minister for Asia and Pacific Islands, the Egyptian Foreign Ministry, Hani Selim, in Cairo, Egypt, on Tuesday. As quoted from kemlu.co.id, the meeting discussed the bilateral developments of the two countries in various fields. Indonesian Egyptian delegates exchange views on various regional and global issues that become serious concerns. Director General Destra believes that Egypt has a crucial and strategic position in guarding the stability and peace in the Middle East and North Africa. Amid the dynamics of the Middle East region at this time, this bilateral meeting is very important momentum. The meeting also agreed on 6 memorandum of understanding, such as the establishment of the Joint Commission Section, Joint Trade Committee, Cooperation in Fisheries, Health, Energy and Defense. To increase market access for the products of the two countries, Indonesia and Egypt have agreed to fund a joint feasibility study to explore the establishment of the preferential trade agreement between the two countries. In addition, he also said that both countries are the largest economic powers in their respective regions. Indonesia can use Egypt as a center for market access for Indonesian products to Africa and Europe and the Middle East. Meanwhile, Egypt can make Indonesia as a center to enter the ASEAN market. In regard with the investment cooperation, Destra Percaya said that Egypt, which is carrying out various infrastructure development projects to realize the vision of 2030, is a potential target for Indonesian outbound investment in construction and transportation. He also pointed out that Indonesia is currently pushing Indonesian state-owned enterprises such as PT Wika and PT Inka to benefit the opportunities in Egypt. During a visit to Egypt, the Indonesian government brought together PT Wika with its potential partners in Egypt. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Apa yang harus aku lakukan? Aku tunjukkan untuk membuat kau menyayangiku. Inilah aku yang memilih kau untukku. Karena aku mencintaimu dan hatiku
That was Untuk Mencintaimu, sung by Seventeen. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I will introduce Pantiau Culinary to you, a typical food from Bangka Belitung province. When you're traveling to Bangka Belitung province, there are various kinds of tourism objects, especially marine tourism, which can be visited. Besides visiting beautiful tourism objects, you have to set your time to taste the typical culinary of Bangka Belitung people. One of Bangka Belitung culinary is called Pantiau. The taste of the culinary looks like kue tiao. In the local language, Pantiau means a half heavy food. The name of Pantiau is taken from the word pan, which means half, and tiao refers to heavy. So, Pantiau is the food to substitute rice. Main ingredients of Pantiau is sago, rice flour, fish, garlic, onion, salt, pepper, and salty soy sauce. Firstly, sago is stirred with rice flour. Then the dough is steamed in the 30 cm baking pan. After the dough is cooked, the pantiau is dried in the sun on bamboo blades until dry. After that, the pantiau is cut like noodle by using knife or a special cutting tool to make the slices of pantiau better. Then the pantiau is sprinkled with flour so it doesn't stick. Before serving, boil it again, then serve in a dish or bowl. To enjoy one portion of pantiau, they must be processed again by adding fish dressing. To make the dressing, garlic and red onion are mashed with fish. Then salted will entering pepper or sahang in Bangka language. After smelling typical aroma, salt and salty soy sauce are entered sufficiently. The ingredient is served on the pantiau, which has been previously served on the plate, adding more hot water to mix the dough and the noodle. Then pantiau is ready to be enjoyed. Its taste is savory and delicious. One portion of pantiau is only 10,000 rupiah to 20,000 rupiah. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Saat kau dengannya, kadang ku menangis. tetaplah diriku di sini. Masih seperti yang dulu, ketemu kau pun kembali untuk bersama.
You have just listened to a song entitled Satu Yang Tak Bisa Lepas, sung by Reza. For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabulary and expression, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, a lesson on Indonesian or the Indonesian language that introduces the vocabulary, phrases, and idioms, also guides you to converse in Indonesian. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Overseas Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is berapa harganya, or in English, how much is the price? Next, I will give an example of a conversation on berapa harganya, or in English, how much is the price? Tony and Endah are buying batik scarves in one of the batik shops.
Selendang ini berapa harganya?
Oh, yang ini 90 saja.
Maaf, saya kurang mengerti. Berapa harga selendang ini?
90 ribu.
Oh.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, which is berapa harganya, or in English, how much is the price. I will say the words two times and you can repeat after me. Selendang ini berapa harganya? Which means how much is this shawl or scarf? 90, which means 90. Maaf, saya kurang mengerti. Maaf, saya kurang mengerti, which means sorry, I don't exactly understand. Berapa harga selendang? Berapa harga selendang, which means how much is the price of a shawl or scarf? 90 ribu rupiah. 90 ribu rupiah, which means 90,000 rupiah. Berapa harga rumah ini? Berapa harga rumah ini? Which means what is the price of this house? 200, which means 200. 200 ribu rupiah. 200 ribu rupiah, which means 200,000 rupiahs. 600 ribu. 600 ribu, which means 600,000. 600 juta rupiah. 600 juta rupiah, which means 600 million rupiahs. To ask the price of goods, use the question word berapa. Berapa, which means how much. Sometimes it is followed by the word harga. Harga, which means price. But sometimes not. Example. Selendang ini berapa? Selendang ini berapa? Which means how much is this shawl or scarf? Berapa harga selendang ini? Berapa harga selendang ini? Which means how much is this shawl? Selendang ini harganya berapa? Selendang ini harganya berapa? Which means this shawl, how much is it? The sentence berapa harga selendang ini, which means what is the price of the shawl or scarf, is very formal. In everyday conversation, when you are shopping, it is rarely used. Usually it is berapa ini? Berapa ini, which means how much is this? Yang itu berapa? Yang itu berapa, which means how much is that? Furthermore, in the dialogue, you heard the salesperson mentioning the price 90. 90, which means 90. What is meant by the salesperson is 90 ribu rupiah. 90 ribu rupiah, which means 90,000 rupiahs. In buying and selling, these things are common. Example, sepatu itu berapa harganya? Sepatu itu berapa harganya? Which means how much are those shoes? 200, which means 200, or 200 ribu rupiah. 200 ribu rupiah, which means 200,000 rupiahs. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia today, for more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation once more.
Selendang ini berapa harganya?
Oh, yang ini 90 saja.
Maaf, saya kurang mengerti. Berapa harga selendang ini?
90 ribu.
Oh.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
kemuliaan bersama dirimu, aku merasa berarti. Sanggupkah dirimu untuk bertahan hingga waktu tak berjalan? Mencintaiku walau bintangku tak terang, cintailahku sepenuh hati sesungguhnya. Aku tak ingin kau pergi, takkan mampu ku hadapi dunia ini. Pernah sama bila kau tinggalkanku, tetaplah di sini saling memiliki sama lamanya. Cinta satu jatuh nanti menangis sepi.
That was Cintailah Aku Sepenuh Hati or Love Me All Your Heart, sung by Ari Lasso. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a Malayan song to you entitled Laila Manja, sung by Asmidar Darwis. The song tells about advices of life. The poem lyric is sung repeatedly with ballad rhythm music. The song Laila Manja includes in the album of the most 14 popular Malayan songs. Asmidar Darwis is well known as the singer of Malayan and Kambu song. Her songs were popular in the 1970s. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Laila Manja by Asmidar Darwis. Happy listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Di hatiku selalu mencintaimu, termanis dalam hidupku selamanya.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 33-5 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, our Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voiindonesia, and also you can send your email to voi@voinews.id.